GNC 598. It's Tuesday, August 3rd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey everyone, we're dual streaming tonight. One stream is up on Ustream. One stream is up on Justin.tv. We'll see how that works. We'll talk about that here in a second. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to welcome you to the podcast. And if you get a chance, get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Or, of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. That'll get you really connected up to all the older shows. And we're at show number 598. We're really two away from the big one. And, you know, if luck would have it, obviously 599 will be recorded on Thursday for the Friday show. Then 600 will be a week from today. And a week from today, I am scheduled to be on an airplane headed towards the West Coast. So probably what I'm going to do, I'm going to arrange to do an early show on Monday. So if you want to stay tuned, I'm going to give you the exact time on the next show. But on the 9th of August, we're going to do show 600, of course, live, really, during the daytime. So those of you that are on the East Coast, you'll have no excuse. You can watch show 600. Should be a lot of fun. We always have a lot of fun on our increments of 100, and we've fast approached 600 here. Just seems like days ago that we'd completed show 500. But again, big show on Monday the 9th for show 600. I'll keep you up to date on the exact time on the next show. We'll tell you a lot of stuff going on here. And of course, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being subscribed. And if you're a new listener to the show, we want to welcome you to the podcast. And being a new listener, you want to do two things. You'll want to get subscribed to the newsletter. The newsletter contains all the content that I'm going to talk about during the show tonight. And the second thing you're going to do is you're going to want to get subscribed to the RSS feed. The RSS feed contains all the content that I'm going to talk about. Excuse me, the RSS feed. Here I'm looking at something else. The RSS feed really gets you connected so you can get the show downloaded automatically to your podcatcher, whether it be through iTunes, Zune Marketplace, whatever you use on your mobile device. The thing is, get subscribed to the feed, and that way you'll never miss an episode of the show. Of course, if you've got a Roku, and I know that, boy, oh boy, the Roku numbers, we're going to talk about the effect of the Roku has had on this show here in a few minutes. But I know what the numbers are on the Roku, and you guys are just completely overwhelming me in more than one way. And so congratulations for watching us on the Roku. Of course, if you got a box, you can check us out there. We've got some more devices coming, which is even more scary considering the bandwidth utilization that the show has really struck. The audio files are 60 to 70 megs in size, and those are downloaded by a huge number. This audience is very big. And so, you know, I thought those numbers were always very impressive. But you consider that the video files are as much as 10 to 15 times larger than the audio files. So for every person that downloads one video file, it's like 15 people have downloaded it. Downloaded, you know, is in comparison. We moved just under 100 terabytes last month. And that, my friends, is one bunch of traffic. It is a scary amount of traffic. You know, we thought we were handling, you know, I knew what the numbers were going to kind of be, had no idea over the last 60 days what that really entails. It's expensive, to say the least, but boy, oh boy, I am completely a little bit overwhelmed by the response so far. So you know, all I can do is just hang on for the ride. We are definitely going to be adding more devices, and that's just going to ramp up the numbers even more. I'm just blown away, really. And the audio audience has started to climb as well. And we've seen some impressive gains that way, too. And I can only think it's just a passover from people watching on the Roku and also wanting to take the show with them on their mobile device. So we're going to be looking at maybe thinking about bringing on some sponsors for bandwidth because it's big. It really, really is. But anyway, it's all fun in the name of the game, and you can't complain. You know, I could be crying and sobbing in my handkerchief over the numbers being low, but they haven't been, and you guys are blowing me away. So again, welcome to all the Roku and Boxy listeners, and those of you that are downloading the video portion of the show to whatever mobile device you may have. Hey, last Saturday we had a roundtable. I've got it all processed. We haven't put it up in the on the site yet. I'm kind of waiting for something. The techpodcast.com site is really close to being rolled out, the third version of it. So those of you who've been with us, really, it'll be more than the third version. We've had 1, 2, 3, 4, probably be at the sixth version of the site in as many years. So we're getting ready to roll out to the new techpodcast.com, fully HTML5 capable. We're starting to ramp up some stuff that we're going to be doing on techpodcast.tv. But Angelo, I thought, was going to have it punched out today, but he didn't get there. But hopefully that's out and on the street here shortly. I'm hoping tomorrow. So be watching my Twitter. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. Well, one thing that's changed here in the studio, and you guys really can't see it, is that in anticipation of the new TriCaster, the new TC-XD850, the 8-channel TriCaster that'll put us into an HD realm where I can go 16:9 and intermix any types of cameras that I want, I had to order 2 new monitors. I don't know if you guys can see these. Let me bring up camera 4 and flip this in here. For those of you on video, you can see the 2 monitors back here. You can see the audio processing computer, and really it's overkill for what we're doing there. That will be sort of a dual purpose. And then on this side, it's really whited out because I haven't turned the screen brightness down on them. But that's the one that's running the TriCaster right now. I don't know if I can get in close. I think I can get down close in that. Let's see if this is the right button. So these are 24-inch monitors, and I really, what I had in there before was 20-inch monitors, but I had to go to the larger size because the TriCaster requires me to have a 1920x1080 screen native to run the interface, and ultimately that will, once the new TriCaster gets in, which we're thinking mid to late August, we'll be able to get that installed and then bring a whole new level to the show and some of the cool stuff that we're going to be able to do with virtual sets and everything else. But the system I have now will do virtual sets, but not exactly the way I want to do them. And so we'll be experimenting with that once the new system gets here. But 2 big monitors, which required an adjustment here in the studio a little bit and just to make room for them. My wife just came in. She just shakes her head. She says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Cause really that's what there is. There's up 7 monitors now in the studio. One is for me to monitor the stream. One is where I work the show from. The second is the third is what I punch out if I'm going to put up an external screen or if I bring this screen in where that's really just a copy of what's going on the secondary screen on my computer, then the 2 control machines and then the Ohanasaurus behind me. So it's getting a little nuts in here. And another reason to make the move at some point to actually move into the garage and build a studio in there. So anyway, that's here and there. Hey, I do got a special for you guys. And this is something that my good friends over at GoDaddy provided me. And this is a one-time deal, okay? So just so you know here, it's a one-time deal. If you're not a customer yet of GoDaddy, this only applies to new customers. But I've got a code for you that when active today, it has a limited number of uses. $1.99 domain names. All you got to do is use the code GEEK199, but it's only going to work if you're a new customer. So if you go over to GoDaddy and you have never used any of their products or services before, think about it, because this is a great time for you to get a domain name at $1.99. Now, they've got a $1.99 offer on the website, as you can see, but you got to buy something else. With this code, you don't have to buy anything else. You just get the .coms. And this is a one-time deal. So if you go through, pick out 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 domain names, and you're going to get them for $2. Okay, $1.99 is what's going to cost you. Geek199 is the code. This is a limited time offer. It's going to run out. And again, it's for new customers only. Okay, so for those of you that are looking to pick up some domains, this is a perfect opportunity for you. Geek199 is the code. Of course, I have a link up in the show notes for you. They're at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. There's a full list of other codes. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15%. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. And because it is a new month, I want to give a big thanks to GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here, helping me keep the lights on. That's the most important thing. And, this is a great deal, and it's not going to last long, so keep that in mind. Geek199. Well, the new jailbreak is out. How many of you guys have went out and actually jailbroke your iPhone 4? It's really web-based. You just go to jailbreakme, I think it's jailbreak.me or jailbreakme.com, one of the two. And really all you do is just launch a little installer and it does it. Use some caution. I have not upgraded my iPad yet because there was some rumors that they were having issues with the current version. So I'm going to wait a few days to see how that goes. But the new jailbreak's out, so we'll be here pretty shortly. We'll be able to patch the old iPad into the system here, and you guys will actually be able to do demos and stuff right on the screen with the iPad. So that'll be a lot of fun. My daughter, today, first day of high school here in Hawaii, we have a year-round schedule, so they get a very short, condensed summer vacation. And so she started first day starting high school, and of course came home with a high schooler attitude. And, yes, need I say more, moms and dads? And of course, we went through a little bit of a, because up to this point, they've just worn uniforms to school. But for some reason, some fool decided that the high schoolers didn't need to wear uniforms in Hawaii. So we've been going through the battle, per se, of, she came out last night, how about this, Dad? I'm like, no, go back. And I said, where did you get that? Oh, from my friend. And I'm like, that comes out of the wardrobe. So, boy. Anyway, very cool. All right. Someone was saying that on Ustream, this is annoying, keep popping up another guy's video clip. I don't know what that is, DJ. Try reloading the page. Dale, are you seeing the same thing on your side? Hey, before we get into the content here, anytime I can avoid getting into a car, or getting in an airplane, you guys know that I use GoToMeeting. And obviously next week I have to get on an airplane and go somewhere and can't avoid using it. But for you, for all of us, we don't want to waste time and money sitting in traffic or in airplanes or airports. GoToMeeting has become completely indispensable to me. And of course, GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix, is the easiest and most secure way to hold an online meeting. You guys know that you have a meeting up running in seconds. This weekend, we proved it on the roundtable. Someone never used it before. First time they used it is when I handed off control to the show and said, here you go. And they did just fine. So it's really easy to use. And for $49 a month, you can hold as many meetings as you want. It even includes phone and voice over IP conferencing free. And as a listener of this show, you get GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Again, visit GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day offer. Again, GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Let me look at my little list here. Thanks, GoToMeeting, again, also as well, for being a sponsor of the show and continuing to sponsor the podcast. Okay, let's get into the content. We got a stack of stuff to get through tonight, and I'll be pushing to wrap up at an hour and 15. Let me load the right browser here. And I wrote an article today at Geek News Central, and it's got a little bit of a story behind it. And I'm basically refraining at this point from mentioning who the marketing company is and who the Fortune 500 company is. Matter of fact, I sent an email off to the specific Fortune 500 company today, someone that I knew within the space, and I kind of wanted him to read this blog post. Essentially, 2 weeks ago, I was contacted by a major marketing firm, and they pitched me to bring a crew to an event they were having in Palm Springs. They wanted me to live stream their 3-day event to a behind the firewall live streaming service, so it wouldn't have been available to all of you, and also to do up to 30 interviews. So I wrote them a great proposal. I was going to bring a team of 3. We were going to be there a full week, going to ship in probably $40,000 worth of gear, cameras, all the other stuff that goes along with doing, you know, a live event, wireless mics, you know, handful of those, and, you know, the TriCaster and everything else. And so I put in, you know, airfare with Coach. They requested that we stay at the same hotel the event's staying at, a very high, plush, 5-star hotel in Palm Springs with daily rates like at $400 a day. Then they wanted, of course, I wanted to get the guys paid per diem so that they were able to have, you know, a food allowance, and then a fee for, you know, producing the event. The marketing company responded back to me that they were willing to pay for airfare, food, lodging, and shipping, but nothing else. And really what I was going to get in return was 5 interviews that I could publicly post at Geek News Central after probably doing 2 weeks worth of work. And I just basically came back to them and said that it was completely and utterly unacceptable. I wasn't going there to cover the show. The initial time we talked about, they had never offered up 5 interviews. Said I had to do 30 interviews that would be under their banner head and underneath the GNC banner head. And then basically I was going to be a personality for their show and doing the production. So I was blown away that they would not agree to a fee. Now, the total proposal came in just around $25,000. And for a week's worth of on-site work and a week's worth of in-studio work after the show, considering everything we had to do, the travel, the equipment, everything, it was a fair proposal considering all the time. So here's the thing that really bugged me about this was that the company itself must have felt that they could pick on a small company. And again, this was through Geek News Central and Podcast Connect, the company that owns GNC, not through anything we're doing at Raw Voice. This was a personal proposal. And I was incensed that they would insinuate that they wouldn't pay for this. Now, we broke off discussions very early this morning here in Honolulu, Monday morning, very early my time. And I basically told them that I was going to put up an article. And within 45 minutes of me mentioning that to them, I got a letter from their legal firm basically threatening me with a significant lawsuit if I mentioned the marketing firm in question. So I'm not going to do that. I don't need a lawsuit. I don't need the hassle. And I don't need to dime them out because the company involved will definitely understand my point of view here in a few days by reading this. But my point is, at this point, is it appears to me that this marketing firm has done this to other new media creators and thinking that they're going to be getting a good deal by going and doing this. If they had contacted a normal production company, this would have been a $100,000 proposal with 10 people on the ground. But because we've got basically a studio in a they can fit in the trunk of a car and be able to do this kind of stuff, they figured they could take advantage of me. And sorry, I'm in business to be in business, not to lose money. But this just goes to show you, anyone out there that's a new media creator, you need to pay attention to what's going on and not be used and really look at what you'll be getting in return. Now, if they were a sponsor of the show, if I could have access to all 30 interviews, if I was able to stream it live and be the exclusive on-site, then it'd have been a different story completely. But it was because this didn't come to me as a, hey, we want you to cover our event publicly. It was, hey, we wanted you to come do this privately and be the face for our show. And, no, thank you. So anyway, we got the article up there. You can read the full details, but it is kind of discerning. It really, really is. So people out there creating media, be, you know, pay attention to, you know, offers and opportunities that come your way. All right, let's go ahead and get a little deeper into tech. Over on Gadget Lab on Wired, there is an article on why does a new Kindle have a microphone? And essentially what has been speculated is that the folks at Amazon are going to be working on accessibility issues for the Kindle. And what that's going to end up happening is I would imagine maybe voice commands at some point. Maybe they'll have it where, you know, you're going to be able to not only don't have to press a button, just say change page, go back, whatever it may be. And then if it's actually doing a, if it's acting like a audible book, maybe that's tied in somehow. I don't know. But some speculation going on why the new Kindle has a microphone there. The folks over at Amazon are saying currently that this is not hooked up. It's not part of the feature list. So we'll have to wait and see what develops. Hey, there's a great article over on tablosoftware.com. Talks about U.S. iPad users are overpaying for their data plans and gives you a comparison throughout the world of what other iPad users are paying. In France, iPad users pay $25.47 a gig. Belgium's $21.77, same with Luxembourg. Netherlands is $19.59. United States is $12.50. Now, here's the thing that's amazing. You go down to Singapore, Hong Kong, Germany, Japan, they're all paying about a buck. About anywhere from 50 cents to a dollar per gig for data on the iPad. And if that doesn't just really kind of, well, I got to keep the show child safe. But if that doesn't upset you, nothing will. So, you know, I get all the way up until, you know, I go through Italy, Austria, Spain, Ireland, UK, Austria, Ireland, before it even breaks $5 a gig. So, yeah, we're right there in the top, you know, paying high dollar. And it just goes to show you how far behind we are in the United States when it comes to really bandwidth costs and how ridiculous pricing we're paying, how much, you know, how ridiculous the prices we're paying on stuff. In Canada, you're only paying $6.75 a gig. So you guys one up on us, at least on the iPad. Hey, when the jailbreak for, it's actually jailbreakme.com, so that's where the actual website is. Here, seeing it on the 9 to 5 Mac website. Initially, when they released the jailbreak, there was some issues with FaceTime, but now, boy, oh boy, it's only taken them here a day, but FaceTime over 3G is working. So you're able to, once you have an iPhone 4 and you jailbreak it, and not limited to doing FaceTime over Wi-Fi. Now you can connect with someone via 3G. I'm sure at the very, probably upsetting the folks over at AT&T and Apple, but who cares, right? Since it is quote unquote legal to jailbreak your phone now. Of course, you will void your warranty. Hey, great article by the folks at Microsoft talking about de-blurring images using inertial measurement sensors. And really what this boils down to is they're saying that, and they've used a DSLR camera here mounted with a variety of sensors, but at some point this all will be able to be miniaturized and they'll be able to put gyros like it's in an iPhone now. And then even if a picture is blurry, like, I don't know if you guys can see here or not, but there's a picture of some Coke cans on one side that's blurred and then the corrected image on the right. What they've done is the internal gyro measurements to essentially, and they're doing a showing blur, showing clear. It looks funny on your guys' video site. But what they've done here is using the, you know, at the moment that the picture was taken, they take the internal readings of the gyro and everything else, and they're able at that point to say, here's the correction we need to put in to reduce the blurring of an image. So I'm sure at some point what is going to happen here is this is going to make itself into mobile devices. So very cool article by the folks at Microsoft on the technical side of really creating much clearer images with cameras. And how many times have you taken a picture with a digital camera and it just turns out terrible? I'm sure a lot of you have done it many times. I know I have. All right, there was in Las Vegas last week, of course, there was the big hacker convention. And there was a speech made by a security guy who says that any country with 2 years and $100 million could buy a winning cyber army. And he goes through this, and this individual has given this presentation to NATO and DOD folks already. But this is pretty scary stuff that a country like North Korea or the Chinese could, you know, literally spend a couple hundred million dollars to deploy and be able to build a big enough network to really cause an impact on infrastructure here within the United States. First going after soft targets like electrical power plants, our telephone grid, going after, and maybe not so much on the DOD side, the public-facing DOD side, but definitely causing an issue. And he lays this all out, and it should make all of us sit back a little bit and go, because maybe we ought to be spending a little money within our budget to prepare for and defending and potentially even, for a better word, fighting back. And but boy, scary stuff. Really, really is. But some good stuff came out of the convention this year. And of course, there was a lot of feds in the audience, because as it was announced, some individuals getting interviewed or asked to be interviewed by the FBI and other agencies. So once again, it draws some of the most some of the guys doing some of the wild stuff out there, and some very smart people, obviously, on the computer security side. You know, energy being green, it's the in thing right now. Of course, we saw a lot of green products at the different events we've attended. And the folks at Higher Power have basically developed what they call the Higher Power Pad. It takes energy from the shower and returns it to the hot water system. Now, my hot water heater is a long way from my shower, but I guess if your hot water heater is relatively close to your shower, what this is it's really just a pad that they put on the bottom of your shower over the top of your drain. And as you're taking a nice hot shower, it drips through the radiator, which is being circulated with cold water, and warms it up, and then it sends it back to the hot water system to kind of help the hot water system along a little bit. This was being demonstrated and should be available within the next year or so, but not necessarily inexpensive to do, considering you have to outfit your shower, you have to drill holes, you have to run lines, you have to put it into your circulation system. You know, probably the energy you spend installing this thing and the money to install it probably would not get your money back worth for, you know, before the thing rusted out. But it is kind of another innovative way to better recycle. Now, if you have one of those self-contained systems that is like on the wall type, one of those wall water heaters, that might work out even better in this implementation. But I'll have the link up for you in the show notes. This was over at gizmag.com. Now, I'm not a woodworker, but I saw this picture on Gizmodo, and I just got to share it with you guys, and you guys will be able to see this in the show notes. But it's entitled The Ultimate Toolbox, and if you're a woodworker, you're just going to absolutely go bonkers when you see this. And it's really all the, you know, hasp and chisels and drills and measuring tools, and this is a result of 30 years and consistently proven organization of tools. And if you've got a Craftsman tool set around, obviously this puts it to shame. The custom toolbox is made by H.O. Studley. Yes, Studley. And again, it's a result of 30 years of consistently improving tool organization. If you're a woodworker, this would be the ultimate. You wouldn't even want to use this thing. You just want to have it kind of sitting somewhere. And when your buddies come over, they could just, wow. Of course, you know, you got to be old school and be willing to do stuff by hand, and not so much with your power tools, but it is impressive. It really, really is. I just wonder who spent 30 years designing that. That's the question I have. Does that guy had a life or not? All right, the October release of Office for Mac 2011 has been announced. It's going to be $119 for a single-user install and $149 for a family three-pack. Home and Business also includes Outlook and is priced at $199 for a single install or $279 for two computers. And if you purchase Office 2008 prior to November 30th, you can upgrade to Office 2011 at no charge. So look at the pricing on 2008. It's a little bit of an increase on Office pricing. All right, Facebook has doubled size of data center before it's ever built. They've decided to go from adding 160,000 square feet to the original 147,000 square foot data center, and it's going to be built in Pineville, Oregon. So this is going to be huge. They want to have a server farm able to accommodate 500 million users. So they're going to have a total of 307,000 square foot of data center. That's, wouldn't you want to just go tour that? Think about the money. It's going to, you know, don't tell me Facebook isn't rolling in some cash. 307,000 square feet. Amazing. It really, really is. Have you heard about the new Samsung phone? It's an Android phone. It's called Captivate. Oh man, this thing. When I looked at the review on this and looked at the menus, just let me show you this. Now there's a reason today that it was announced that Android has sold and has surpassed the percentage of phones, actually surpassed the iPhone today or last month. And if you look at this menu, let me bring this up. If you just look at this, you know, just quickly glancing at this phone, you say, oh, that's an iPhone. But no. This is the Android Captivate by eight. You know, it's a Samsung phone being sold by AT&T. But you have to go over to GigaOm and look at the review on this thing. It makes me really sit back and say, maybe I need to be looking a little bit closer at Android. Pretty impressive. Really, really was. And there's some good reviews on the net. I would say, I don't know if this one is going to be in any other manufacturers, or I mean, any other carriers, but if AT&T is the only one carrying it, that might be a downfall. But Samsung has really hit a home run with this specific phone and the design and everything. It looks really good. It's got a 4-inch AMOLED touchscreen. It's got a 1 gigahertz CPU, 16 gigs of internal memory, 720p HD video recording with a 5 megapixel camera. It's running Android 0.21 with Samsung Touch Wizard user interface. It's got 802.11 BGN. It's got Wi-Fi. It's a GPS quad band GSM Edge or tri-band HSPA. This is a nice phone. It really, really is. So I'll have a link up for you in the show notes to check it out. All right, what do you do with your time on the internet? There's a study that came out today that by Nielsen, who basically says that the top 10 sectors' share of U.S. internet time is as follows. Number one, social networks, 22.7%, online games, 10.2%, email, 8.3%, portals, 4.4%, instant messaging, 4.0%, videos and movies, 3.9%, search, 3.5%, software manufacturers, 3.3%, multi-category entertainment, 2.8%. Classified in auctions, 2.7% and 34.3% of other. I hope that other is all like consuming new media like podcasts. They didn't break it down, but 22.7% of your time on the net is spent on social networks. Are you guys spending that much time on Facebook? Or, you know, that kind of surprised me. That's a big number. And so Nielsen, I don't know how they measured this. You know how they measure radio stuff, right? They send you $2 in an envelope and a little piece of paper to fill out what you listen to on the radio. So I wondered if they sent people a piece of paper and sent them $2 and told them to write down how they're surfing the internet. But anyway, I don't know. I don't know how much validity I put into a lot of Nielsen stuff. But 22.7, 10.2 in online games. I've never played an online game. I can say that with authority. I've never done it. Email, 8.3. I think my 8.3 is much higher than that. As I said earlier, Android sales overtake iPhone in the United States. New smartphone subscribers choosing Google phones accounted for 27% of U.S. smartphone sales. And this morning, nudging past the 23% share held by Apple. But Android just isn't in the United States. They're estimating that Android handset sales grew 886% worldwide from a year ago. So that's some pretty impressive increases in numbers. A little talk about Clearwire. I got a Clearwire 4G, actually Clearwire connection here. Matter of fact, that's what I'm using to monitor the downstream. Adjusting TV stuff is being pushed on a DSL connection and then stuff to Ustream is being pushed up through my cable modem. And Clearwire is said it's now providing 4G WiMAX service to five new cities. So what cities were they? Did they announce which cities they were? I know one of them was Jacksonville, Florida, Wilmington, Delaware, Stockton and Modesto, California, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey, Barry, you can get Clearwire 4G now. And but they're saying that one reason that Clearwire's, because they're only halfway through its their goal, but they think the reason they're lagging is because they're going to be introducing some big cities. They're going to be maybe rolling out San Francisco and some other big metropolitan areas before the end of the year, which would get them to their goal that they initially set out by reaching 120 million people before the end of the year. Now, we know that Verizon is going to be unveiling LTE network in the fourth quarter of this year to over 100 million people. So we don't know which exact, you know, what cities that they're going to open up in. I hope they come here to Hawaii. Of course, your fingers are going to be crossed there. But we'll see. We'll see how Clearwire stacks up against Verizon in rolling out. But here's the thing to think about is that Clearwire has a huge, huge amount of available spectrum. With their, you know, with their deal with Sprint, they have just a almost unlimited amount of spectrum to be able to make this deployment happen. And they're not underneath the, you know, the constraints that Verizon is on the amount of bandwidth, the amount of spectrum that they have. So they feel that they're going to be, Clearwire is going to be able to roll stuff out cheaper and probably underprice the folks at Verizon. Only time will tell on this, but we'll see. We'll see how it ends up going. Now, in a first, well, actually, at the last 2 months, believe it or not, Internet Explorer share has grown. This month, it grew 0.42% worldwide. With Apple, Safari, and Opera taking a little bit of a dip because of the increase in Internet Explorer. So this is really kind of the first time those other browsers have seen a drop. So what does that mean? I guess more of you are using IE9. So that must be the case, or I don't know, but time will tell, one version or another of IE. Hey, Robert Scoble has a good article on, and I don't know if I fully agree here with this, but it's entitled Idiocy and Brilliance of American Policy Towards Entrepreneurs. And he talks to some students that are graduated from MIT that were here or are here or still here on student visas. Obviously very brilliant. These individuals are very smart and, you know, probably would make a great addition to any company in the United States. But talks about the issues that they have with the, you know, maintaining a work visa and being able to stay here and get a green card. One thing that the United States has always been good at in the past is bringing some of the top talent in the world to the United States and really fast tracking them into green cards. Now, because we're, you know, ever since 9/11 and the way the immigration stuff is going, it's kind of tough out there for, you know, talented people who have great skills to stay here in the United States and be able to work as entrepreneurs, and instead of having to be on an H-1B visa. Some of them are, you know, doing marriages of, you know, basically of convenience to get green cards. So, you know, here's the question I got for all of you. This is what I want feedback on tonight's show. Obviously, the immigration thing in Arizona is crazy. You know, it's just something that is definitely dividing parts of the country, but should we not, and this is a question I'm asking, should we not be embracing these folks that have these great talents, you know, very high IQs, very smart, to, if they want to stay in the United States, should not we give them the opportunity to do so? Because they are going to, you know, they're very talented, some of the top talent really in the world. You can probably garner a job anywhere. Should we not be really catering to those folks? Because it's really, it's a lot of smart people is what it's going to take to develop the ongoing economies that we're going to need and the businesses that we're going to need to survive as a nation and move forward. So I guess the question is, what do you guys think about that? Do you think we should? Do you think we should force people to come here to go to school that are brilliant to go back home? Or should we give them fast-tracking immigration status? And then again, is it fair to the countries that have left that would hope that those folks would come back? I don't know, but love to hear you guys' feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Hey, Dave Weiner's got an article about Time Warner wideband upgrade and how he's having huge issues. Dave, you know, I wish I had a choice to have these issues. But no wideband here. No DOCSIS 3.0. I'm sure your stuff's going to get worked out. But he has a scathing, absolutely scathing article about it. And we'll see what he develops over the next couple of days. But fair warned, the article contains adult language. Hey, we talked a little bit on the last show, and new TV is basically confirming that where I stream this show at Ustream, and of course, not, and also on Justin Now, that there has been some action where Ustream has handed over the IP addresses of those individuals that were restreaming UFC pay-per-view events. Now, if you didn't think this wasn't going to happen, then, you know, you think about the cost of pay-per-view, $49, $69, how much that costs. And some of these streams had as many as 70,000 people watching the event. You think about $500,000 lost in revenue, or closer to $1 million, maybe over two events. And you didn't think that the UFC was not going to go after these jokers that were restreaming these UFC events. Word of caution to any of you, before you get the bright idea to do that, any type of event like that, or even any copyrighted television content, think about what good this could do to your lifestyle if they would come after you with a lawsuit. These folks are going to get, they're going to be hurting. This is not going to be a pretty situation for the individuals that were live streaming these pay-per-view events. 78 and 36,000, almost a little, well over 100,000 people. I don't know what these UFC pay-per-view events go for, but Ustream was subpoenaed by UFC via Zuffa early this year to provide identifiable information on certain broadcasters, which Ustream fully complied with in a timely manner. Ustream continues to work cohesively with our premium content partners to prevent piracy, including UFC, to legally stream officially sanctioned UFC events. Whew. Better get a lawyer. That's all I can say. It's all I can say. My goodness. Hey, over at Gawker.com, it's being reported that Wired may be coming out with a article in proclaiming the web is dead. Now, I'm sure they're saying this in jest, because the web is not dead. Definitely not. So we'll see what the context of this is. But that is apparently a forthcoming article by Wired. Hey, I did not read this article. I saw a lot of it in the news. A lot of people criticizing and complimenting an article that was in the Wall Street Journal on Sunday. And essentially it was talking about the data bubble and the data being collected on all of us as we surf the internet. And Doc Searle's weblog has basically a write-up of the article. And I'm going to quote directly from his article. He says, "The journal conducted a comprehensive study that assesses and analyzes the broad array of cookies and other surveillance technology that companies are deploying on internet users. It reveals that the tracking of consumers has grown both far more pervasive and far more intrusively than is realized by all but a handful of people in the vanguard of the industry." Now, one thing that I thought was see if I can find the quote. Oh, where it is. Here was a quote. It said, "It's a sea of change in the way the industry works," says Omar Talawak, CEO of BlueKai. He says, "Advertisers want to buy access to people, not web pages." Well, you know, if advertisers want to buy access to people, not web pages, hello, look at this media. You guys are listening, your people. You're watching, your people. You know this is a tech show. So you know that you're reaching tech people and early adopters and people that buy gadgets. This is the perfect medium to meet that goal. Wow. And it gets worse in the basically what's being done and how it's being tracked. And they know a lot about us, folks. They know everything. They know more about us than we do about ourselves. That's for sure. So, you know, I'm going to have this linked up. You guys can check it out in the show notes. What do you guys think? You know, about how much data mining is going on. You know, we've been really careful at Raw Voice. We basically track by country, by state. We don't go into city level. We know unique IPs, but we don't look at the unique IPs. You know, that's not our, it's just we have an overview. You know, so I have an idea. I know that the most number of listeners in the United States for the show is in Texas, closely followed by California. You know, there's certain things I know how many of you are either watching on the via your browser, how many of you are watching on the Roku, or how many of you are listening to the show via a mobile media player. So, you know, I kind of know that, but I don't know who. I don't have a name. It doesn't tie back to anything. We don't go look at that data that close. And, you know, so it's just basically an aggregated amount of data. But they're talking about being able to detail down to an individual and being able to target to an individual now. And wait till you hear another RFID story here in a minute. You think about they're tracking us on the internet, they're going to be tracking us in our home soon. Well, on a good, on a, you know, on a more positive front, a botnet with 60 gigs of stolen data was cracked wide open. This is by the Register. Researchers have cracked open a botnet that amassed over 60 gigs of passwords and other stolen data, even as it cloaked itself using a state-of-the-art technique known as FastFlux. Had command of over 55,000 PCs, and they had gotten access to those PCs all through some sort of phishing attack, or they, you know, made you click on something. But it just scares me, the amount of data that's being culled from our computers, you know, banking data, credit card numbers, passwords, logins. It's nuts. Now, I talked about RFID, and I should have had this actually tied to the other article if I'd had these stacked right. But again, the Register goes into where they're saying, as of course to the hackers in Vegas said that, whoops, I didn't bring the right one up, is that RFID chips can be easily snooped from up to 66 meters away. And they went in to make some other assumptions about what Uncle Sam could do. But you just think about how close are you to the street? I know my house doesn't sit 180 feet or more off the street. So someone driving by in a vehicle could do an accounting of everything that I have in my house that has an RFID tag attached to it. I would imagine there's probably some stuff in my house that maybe has value. I don't know. Now, does this computer monitor have a RFID chip in it? Someone drive by, scan, and see that there's a tag? Maybe. So, you know, thieves are going to start using RFID tags to target homes for robberies. All right, don't want to play the party's over yet, or, you know, I don't want to put any type of funeral music on. But it's being reported by NASA that Spirit may not survive the winter. You know, Spirit has been stationary, stuck in the sand, and it doesn't have a good alignment to get a lot of sunlight. We know that on March 22nd, that the probe entered emergency hibernation mode. We've talked about that before. But NASA has went on to say that because Spirit is not getting enough juice to power its internal heaters, through the winter months, which can reach as much as minus 67 degrees Fahrenheit, that the clock is ticking. Because while in hibernation mode, Spirit may experience what they call mission clock fault and lose track of absolute time. And if that happens, the rover is going to wake up and reset its mission clock and then continue to stay in hibernation mode into November, which could further cause an impact. Now, not to add insult to injury, but this Martian winter is appears to be rather hazy. The outlook is not good. So if there's any silver lining in this from what NASA says, that it's, put, you know, basically it being a stationary probe and I'm having a good location on it, they're going to be able to track the planet's wobble and help science determine the interior, what the interior of Mars looked like. A liquid core, solid core, all answerable, but only if Spirit awakes and soon. So let's hope that Spirit is revived essentially from their near death and is able to call home to mama. But at this point, it does not look good. So we'll see what happens. Its sister rover on the other side of the planet is doing fine at this point and is still continuing to operate. You remember that NASA authorization bill? Remember, the House didn't do a budget this year. So they're doing all of the expenditures the U.S. government has to make through authorization bills. They didn't do a budget like you and I do. So the House has deferred plans to vote on NASA's authorization bill before going on its August recess because of concerns by some members about the bill's provisions, saying proponents of NASA's Authorization Act 2010 had helped to have the full House vote on the bill late in the week under a procedure known as suspension of the rules, which limits debate and the ability to add amendments, but requires a two-thirds majority for passage. Some members, particularly from California and Ohio, objected to provisions of the bill that limited funding for technology development and commercial crew programs. So they're saying here they're probably not going to get a vote on this until the House comes back from its summer vacation. How many vacations do those guys take in September? Cell phones and Wi-Fi set to invade New York City subways. It's being announced that finally, after years of negotiation, a plan is afoot to wire New York subway platforms to both cellular and Wi-Fi service, a move that is probably going to make many of you that live in New York City very happy. So apparently the Transit Wireless will have 2 years to set technology testing sites in a handful of the city's 277 underground stations. You know, even in Washington, D.C., when you go underground, your cell still works. How come they can't do this in New York? Why is this not even... This blows me away that I didn't know that you couldn't use your phone on in the subway. You would have thought they would have already been done. But guess not. So I guess that probably some money passed hands there, and unions and everything else battled over that. All right, surprise, surprise, surprise. Guess who are some of the top capital lobbyists? Verizon is a top Capitol Hill lobbyer on internet laws. Verizon spent $4.4 million to really kind of go talk about issues from net neutrality to the proposed Distracted Driving Prevention Act. The folks over at AT&T weren't far behind. But by the way, Verizon only spent $1.1 million last year. AT&T spent $3.08 million. Comcast spent $3.8 million. Time Warner Cable spent $1.4 million. Now, Google spent $1.3 million. You'd have thought they'd have spent a lot more, considering the budget they have. Amazon set aside $500K, Yahoo $550,000, Microsoft had $1.8 million. It's about time we all put together a fund and had our own lobbyists there talking about net neutrality. Amazing. Now, what did Verizon spend their money on? Many issues that would make many of you go, oh yeah, they're trying to protect their interest. And they even list out their team of people that are there acting as lobbyists. So it just goes to show you, money talks, everything else walks. So I have the link up in the show notes here for you, all right? Hey, the Large Hadron Collider, man, this one's a deep one. Dark data flood for dark matter. And if you are a science major or you have taken a few science classes, you'll be interested in reading this article that's over on Ars Technica because it is deep. I read through it. I'm like, I haven't taken a science in years. Maybe it's time to start reading up the standard model. I'm like, standard model? What is standard model? So I had to go to Google. What is standard model? And I'm like, read that. I'm like, okay. But there's some cool stuff going on at LHC. And some rules could be changed as science know it today. As it concerns some of these topics and, you know, hypothesis on supersymmetry, lots of stuff else, just some very big theories and words and some stuff that I have never had exposure to. Some of the geeks, the super science geeks out there, you're going to have fun with this article. Link will be up in the show notes, okay? All right, Trillion 5, let's get back into something more fun. Trillion 5 beta for Windows is now here, looking good, and it's available for download. So if you're a Trillion user, definitely check out Trillion 5. Hey, you know, how many of you have ever done something to put a little addition on your house without getting a permit, or maybe put in a swimming pool, or had a sewage system changed over the weekend, went and gotten a city permit? I'm sure some of you have done some stuff to your houses that you wouldn't necessarily want the you know, the person is coming around and, you know, getting the evaluation of your house. There's some stuff you just don't want to have seen, right? Well, if you live in Riverhead, Long Island, New York, you'll be very happy to know that they have been using Google Earth to find those of you that put in swimming pools without a permit. And they have sent, I guess, how many notices out? 207. They've sent out 277 notices to homeowners saying, hey, we see you have a swimming pool. Did you ever get a permit for that? Which has resulted in a reportedly the city earning $75,000 in new permits for swimming pools that were already installed. And they're using Google Earth to find out who's violators. But worse than that, in California, there's some sort of a, I don't have a swimming pool, but for those of you that do, I guess there's a pool vacuum. I guess they're pretty expensive. Well, people have been looking at Google Earth pictures and figuring out who has pool vacuums and making midnight runs to the houses and helping themselves of your pool vacuum. So be aware of that. That the general public is using satellite technology to rob and enforce laws. My goodness. Hey, this I'm going to get one of these for my wife. It's securely dock your iPad to the fridge with what's called the fridge pad. It costs $76. But I've told you, my wife is absolutely insane about her iPad. I see it in the kitchen. I see it in the living room. I see it in the bathroom. I see it in the bathroom. It goes with her. She can check email, surf the net. So perfect way to get recipes and that type of stuff. So this fridge pad is available for $76. This was by eHome Upgrade, and it's real simple. It just, you know, it sticks to your refrigerator. You can snap your snap the iPad in there, and then they're good to go. They can use. I was going to put the picture up real quick, but you know, these little handy little things like that, $76 for that, and someone's going to get absolutely rich over selling those. So just great ideas for new products and services. Hey, I've told you guys before that we use our public library a great deal. My kids are book fanatics. They come home with a, you know, new bag of books every couple of weeks. They always win like reading contests at school. And I was an avid, and I still am an avid reader when I have time. But did you know that public libraries loan out more movies than big chain DVD rental services? This is according to a 2010 report. I've talked about this before. Our library here in Honolulu, you can request and put movies on basically on hold. Each person can check out two videos. You can only use them a week. But a lot of the videos that we have never been able to get via like Netflix or stuff like that, we check out from the library and watch for free. So don't forget about those free resources available at your library, especially when times like this are tough. All right, tomorrow we are we need to brace here because there has been a huge solar flare. I guess that is what they're calling a solar flux or something. But scientists are braced for what they're calling a solar tsunami. This explosion was aimed directly at Earth, and they see it's going to hit tomorrow. They're saying that, say, the wave of supercharged gas will likely reach Earth on Tuesday when it will buff up the natural magnetic shield protecting the Earth. It's likely to spark spectacular displays of the aurora of northern and southern lights. Scientists warn that a really big solar eruption could destroy satellites and wreck power, and this could be an issue. We could see. So they are really worried about this one here, and they say this is a very rare event. These were huge eruptions. And, she said that it looked like the first eruption was so large that it changed the magnetic field throughout the sun's visible atmosphere and provided the right conditions for a second eruption. She said both eruptions could be Earth detected, but maybe traveling at different speeds. And, she says they have a very good chance of seeing major and prolonged effects from this. So, stand by tomorrow for radio and everything else to not work so well. New York Times had an article about $200 billion a year being lost to counterfeiting. you know, like your Gucci bags, and you go to the swap meet and get your t-shirts that have the logo that don't quite look right. The folks at Tekter are saying, hey, back this up. This doesn't match anything else that the GAO has stated and is way overblown. They feel that the numbers were massively overblown. So I'll have this link up in the show notes for you. You can read through this, but it probably links to another article I have about luxury goods. But, you know, it's just one of those things that the New York Times really had a sensational story about. I can't believe $200 billion lost to counterfeiting a year. I just can't. Terry Childs is denying motion for retrial. This is a guy that was a network administrator in San Francisco, and he is going to be sentenced here shortly. He's not going to be able to get a retrial, so he's going to be going to the slammer. Great article on the Washington Post about WikiLeaks and how it should be stopped. And, you know, there's a, you know, I consider myself a patriot. I consider myself, you know, having served in the military for 24 years. I was very disturbed about what was released on WikiLeaks. Did not go over and review any of the material, but I'm going to tell you, the individual that posted this stuff, I would be really worried. I would not want to go anywhere towards any country favorable to the United States without the threat of being arrested. I know some people may have differing views on this, but stuff like that gets people killed. It really does. Hey, we're on webmonkey.com. Is your browser ready for HTML5? They've got a test. So webmonkey.com. I have a link up in the show notes. You can browse over with your browser and see what score you got. I'm using Chrome tonight. It scored a 217 out of 300 points. And I'll leave you guys to check it out as well. Running a little long on time here. So the last two articles are more kind of fun stuff. How do you win in rock, paper, scissors? In Japanese, call it shakumpo. So, you know, rock, paper, scissors. So they've got it at calacanis.com. They've got a thing here, a whole strategy for playing rock, paper, scissors. So use this, and you may have lunch bought for you or something like that, okay? So here's a good strategy paper for you. And finally today, are you guys finding no computers at coffee? You know, you go into a coffee shop, and they tell you you can't use a computer in the store between certain times. Well, they're considering Kindles and iPads to be computers, and people in New York City are getting kicked out of coffee shops because they've opened their Kindle or opened up their iPad. And so what, you know, is a Kindle a computer? Is an iPad a computer? I think a lot of people would say yes on the iPad side, maybe not so much on the Kindle. Okay, let me go ahead here. We got a couple of voicemails, and let me go ahead and play those first, and then we'll get into the email. We're going to have to knock this out real quick if I'm going to make time here. So here is the first voicemail, and haven't previewed these, so we'll see what folks have to say. So again, 619-342-7365 to call in your comments about the show tonight. Here we go.
Hey, Todd. This is Dwayne calling in from Canada.
Hey, Dwayne.
How you doing?
Good.
How's the fam?
Hey, it's good beautiful.
Anyway, I want to talk about the bandwidth caps here in Canada. They are really, really not that great. I mean, I do come up against that. I had to upgrade from 65 to 95 just so I wouldn't come up against the bandwidth cap that I actually ran over about a half a month into my first, month of service due to all the podcasts I listen to and all that. So, I mean, this is not good for anybody who's when they bring up Netflix and all that here. It's going to be, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'll have to switch to another ISP, but there aren't that many in Canada. So what can you do? Anyway, love the show. Thanks.
You know, I think what's going to happen is the Canadian ISPs are going to have to change. They're just going to have to change. They cannot withstand the tsunami of content that's coming. It's going to, you know, that's what I'm saying, folks, about these mobile devices having new limits. We're going to hit the upper limits in these things real quick, and then everyone's going to be angry when their cell bills, you know, remember when you had to pay huge money for texting? You're going to end up with $200-$300 cell phone bills because you went over data usage. And I'm sure those of you that are in countries that restrict the amount of bandwidth that you can have access to are going to run into the same thing. We just have to scream loud and hard to our city officials and those people that are in charge of, you know, allowing competition in the marketplace. That's really what it boils down to. So we got faith for you up there north of us. And but thanks for calling into the show. We definitely appreciate it. Okay, here comes the next voicemail.
Yes, my name is Mark, and
hey, Mark,
I have the Bose mobile in-ear headset.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, I try to connect it to my iPhone, but it's not working.
Okay.
Do you have any tips? I called and I restarted it, and it still is not working. That's all they told me to do: restart it. Is there something wrong with my iPhone, or I had a 3GS? Is that makes the iPhone not work? I'm not sure. My name is Mark again, and hopefully you call me out. All right, bye.
Hey, Mark. You know, I don't have that particular headset, and I do know that I've had Bluetooth devices that would not sync to the iPhone 2G and 3G. It just would never sync. The Bluetooth would never sync up. So what I would do is I would go in the Bose online forums and look and see if anyone else is having the same issue. A lot of times you'll find tricks or tips there on how to get synced up. Now maybe someone in the audience has that same exact headset and can help you out. I personally don't have it. I do have a Bose headset, but mine is a type that plugs into the media player. It's not a wireless one. So hopefully someone in the audience has had experience with that and will be able to help you out. All right, let me go ahead and bring up the emails here real quick, and we'll get through those in the remaining time. Andrew sent me an email. Andrew, thank you for your initial commentary that I'm not going to read on the show, but he sent me a couple of links here. He said, Future Fuel, using food crop residues as opposed to food, and it's over at coolplanetbiofuels.com. And he says, great view of an app that streams video to iPhone/iPads. It's over on Mac Observer. So that's a cool one. Thanks for that, Andrew. I have that link up in the show notes. Got an email here from Bruce. Hey, Todd. And Bruce is in the UK. He says, life is much improved listening to your show in the car after recent tweaks to the gain of the audio podcast. I used to have to turn the stereo up to full to listen, but RDS traffic alerts still used to cut in and cause occupants of the vehicle to jump. We can't have people jumping, Bruce. Now you increase the gain. Life is much better. Previously, if I knew I was doing a lot of driving, I'd run all my podcasts, not yours, through some software to pump up the volume. No longer the case. Thanks up for the good work. And I think we figured it out what was going on. The software was actually causing part of the issue. I got an email from Frank. Says, I've used Comcast for years, and about 7 years I also use their cable internet. On numerous occasions I paid ahead, sometimes intentionally, sometimes by accident. In every case, Comcast properly accounted for my payments. In no case did they invoice me $000 or threaten to disconnect me for having a credit balance. Although I had a lot of beefs with the Comcast manager, I did receive satisfactory service from them. And of the two times I had to call capable tech support, when they bought the previous cable provider, they promised to upgrade, and they did. We went from frequent outages to no outages except when there was an electric power failure. At the time, I lived in Wilmington, Delaware, just 25 miles from the city center of Philadelphia. Comcast home and our system was one of the first they acquired when they started to grow. This may have had some bearing on the service. I think a lot of the complaining they got as they grew was from having grown too far, too fast, not from malice on their part. Thanks, Frank, from that. I appreciate it. Got an email here from Jason. Said, doesn't seem to be going too well for the city of LA implementing Google apps, including Gmail, even though they just announced Google Apps for Gov. And this is an article over on Computer World on how they're having issues there implementing that. I think that's it. Was that it for emails this show? Let me look back. No, we got a couple more here. Looking at dates. Hey, Todd, I want to pass this link on to a story about popular ebooks in Texas schools. This was an article at Star Telegram. So also I have a question about the newsletter. Oh, yeah, I already read this one. This was on the 28th. Oh, yeah. So this would have been, I would have read this from the last show. So anyway, that was it. Just real quick on the show notes. Perfect. So that's going to let's wrap up quick tonight. Hey, if you're watching for the first time on Justin TV, thanks. If you want to watch me over there, we're going to be doing some streaming at justin.tv/geeknews. The challenge I'm having right now is we're not having a good audio-video sync. So we're working on getting the audio-video sync right. Or the stream coming out of the TriCaster to Ustream is pretty close. It's within about 0.03, I think, microseconds of being right, or 3 video frames of being exactly right. We are recording or basically transmitting at 24 frames per second. So it's, you know, the audio is just a little bit off on Ustream, but not so much on, or much more on Justin, and we don't know why. So if you're watching on Justin, I'd like to hear your feedback, geeknews@gmail.com, on how the video looked tonight from a lip sync issue. In other words, I'm speaking now. How is it actually looking on the video? Is it syncing up or is it behind? Love to hear your feedback and how discerning it was. If it was completely annoying, please let me know. It's just one of those things we have to work out going through doing a double stream. But I want to thank everyone for hanging out with me tonight. It's been a lot of fun. $5.99 next show. Of course, recorded here on Thursday evening. You can join me at 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time. That's what time we start. Very late for most of you. I'd be glad when we're only a five-hour time difference to the East Coast when we get into the later months so that you all can tune in a little earlier. But for now, it's 6 hours difference to the East Coast, 3 hours to Pacific. So feel free to come out and hang out with me. But show 600, we'll do in the daytime before I head out to the West Coast. Everyone take care. Have a great week. Be safe out there. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, of course, again, is 619-342-7365. Open 24 hours a day for your commentary. Everyone take care. And aloha.